Welcome in San Diego, it's Jade Hindman. On today's show, we are talking about the San Diego Latino Film Festival. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. The 32nd Annual San Diego Latino Film Festival kicks off today, featuring films from more than 20 countries throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. The theme for this year's festival is Cinema Without Borders. But the festival showcases more than just films. Events this year also highlight Latin food and music among its offerings. Joining me now to tell us more about some of what's happening at this year's festival, I am joined by the artistic director of the festival, Maria Paola Lorgia.
Thanks for having me here.
Thank you so much for being here. Also joining me is Tijuana-based filmmaker Rodrigo Alvarez Flores. His film Broken Borders is showing as a part of the Fronteras Filmmaker Showcase. Rodrigo, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
Glad to have you here. And lastly, Chris Springer joins me. He is a Latin music expert here in town with the local nonprofit, the House of Music. He is part of the festival this year with a film called La Salsa Vive. Chris, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right, it's so great to have you all with us. So, Maria, let's start with this year's theme for the festival, which is Cinema Without Borders. Tell us about why you chose that for this year's theme.
Well, we chose it because we are in a political context, and we wanted to focus that a film doesn't have borders and that we will have a very diverse representations of Latino cinema. Also, our focus this year, it's the Frontera filmmakers, the filmmakers that make films in Tijuana and in San Diego. So you will have more than 20 films from local filmmakers, and we wanted to make a focus on that.
All right. Well, and tell us about some of the films you chose this year and why.
Well, we have more than 100 films on the program. Today, we will be having the opening films, Mexican films of the opening night, Mesa de Regalos and Déjame Estar Contigo. We invited them, the actors, to be on the films. We invited also the directors. It's a celebration of Latino cinema, and they are, one of them is a comedy, Mesa de Regalos, and the other one is a drama, a love story at the border. So we wanted to focus also the opening films on that matter.
And, I'm curious if you're noticing any new trends in Latino film from this year's festival.
Well, we are seeing more hybrid cinema. We are seeing that filmmakers are not only going into fiction, but also documentary, animation, experimental film. So throughout the whole program, you will see different styles of film in different countries. We also noticed a lot of films from the Caribbean. We are having an animation that is called Olivia and the Clouds. Mm. This is an animation from Dominican Republic, for example. We have also Bionicos Bachata, that it's a film also from Dominican Republic, that it's a hybrid film between humor, drama, documentary, and fiction.
So Maria, on top of the films that will start showing today, you are also throwing an opening night party. Tell us about that.
Yes, we will have an opening night that will be with the local bands in El Laughter. That's a bar in San Diego. And we will also have other event that it's the closing party that it's on Saturday. And we will have Las Sabrosas. That's a really big salsa brand from San Diego. So we, during the festival, we don't only have films, but also we have art, culture. We have also food. So we really invite you to explore not only the films, but all the events we have in our catalog. Our catalog will be on the website. Our website is sdlatinofilm.com.
Wow, so many things happening. Tell us about some of the showcases at this year's festival.
Yes, we have eight different showcases, Frontera Filmmakers. You already mentioned that one, but we also have one that it's called Viva Mujeres, that in a certain ways it showed the films directed by women throughout all Latin America. We also have Somos LGBT QI Plus, that is the queer showcase that focuses on LGBTI films. Also, we have the Hay Que Reírse showcase. It's a comedy showcase. We have Un Mundo Extraño, that is the horror, fantasy, science fiction showcase. And of course, the films in competition that are the best films of the year that have been in festivals from all around the world, in Berlinale, Cannes, San Sebastian. So you get the chance to see the best films of Latin America.
That's excellent. And Rodrigo, your film Broken Borders is among the films featured in the Fronteras Filmmakers Showcase. I want us to hear a clip from the trailer. And just a note, this is in Spanish.
Siempre he tenido la idea de salir de aquí. Como mi papá. Se cruzó al otro lado cuando yo estaba muerto. Siempre nos decía lo mismo. Que un día iba a regresar por nosotros.
Intense there. Can you tell us what we just heard and tell us about the film?
Well, the trailer kind of like summarizes the main story of the movie, which is the story of a family, a broken family that whose father, you know, the father of this family went to the States and promised at a point that he would be back for them, and he never came back. So it's a story about a mother and her two children and how they are in kind of like this eternal waiting point, and how their decisions, you know, to be happy, to reach this certain like fulfilling emotion has consequences. Their decisions have consequences over other people. So it's kind of like a way of how the three are connected. And it's like it's a very puzzling story. I don't want to give it away any spoilers.
It's a complex story with layers and with texture to it. I mean, what role does the border itself play in the story you're telling here?
Well, from a personal point of view, I mean, I grew up here I was born in Puebla, Mexico, but since I was a kid, I moved a lot from town to town because of my father's work. And I ended up living in Tijuana at a very young age. And the border always had like this influence in growing up. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like very, very important to write a story that kind of also reflected how I felt as a Mexican growing in like this multicultural environment. And these characters are always talking about the absence of their father and how they are kind of like holding on to a promise that never happened. And I think it's the result of, you know, the effects on breaking up a family. I wrote this movie back in 2018, and I'm very surprised how, you know, that in the current political moment that we're living, mm-hmm. I think now more than ever, it's kind of like important to talk about how important is that families stay together. Mm-hmm. And this is for me, it was important, if I was going to talk about the subject, not to talk about what happens to the people that go, but what happens to the relatives that stay. So in this case, it's the story of a family that stayed in Mexico, and they are facing with this emptiness of being incomplete.
Mm-hmm. And what motivated you to tell this story?
It comes from a personal part of my life. I was, you know, constantly moving from town to town, and I think it was this feeling of loneliness that kind of hold on to me, and trying to search this place where to call home or where to feel that I belonged. So I think I'm kind of like very interested and obsessed with telling stories about characters that feel a little bit lost and are searching that place or moment where they can say, here is where I belong. I feel I have a home. And I'm very, very interested in creating, you know, like personal human dramas with moral complex characters.
Well, Maria, I mean, as we heard, you know, this trailer is really powerful. What stood out to you about this film, Broken Borders, when you first watched it?
Well, what Rodrigo is saying, what happens with the people that stay in the other side of the border? There's an emptiness. And we always talk about from the perspective of mainstream representations from the people that come to the US, but never about the families that stay. And I think that's really beautiful about the roles that Rodrigo created. Also, he has an amazing cast also on the film. And that called the attention of all the programmers of the festival.
Rodrigo, talk to me about the visual style for the film. It's very intimate, but the colors play an important role for you as well, right?
Yes, for us, it was very important to portray our city in a very realistic, but at the same time, colorful way in a way that it hasn't been done in other movies. We didn't want to go with you know the our stereotype of border towns and all, you know. So each character has a perspective. The movie is divided in three characters, three different stories that collide with each other. And it was important for us to have each character of particular, very subtle color palette. So there is a character that is, you know, trying to find who he is, what he wants. So it was important for me to portray these beautiful purple skies that sometimes Tijuana has, and the colorful part of downtown. It was, but at the same time, it's a very raw story. So we had to find like a balance between these.
You mentioned, the importance of not leaning on stereotypes. How do you think living in this border region shapes your work?
Well, I cannot. I can say that I fell in love with cinema because of living here in the border. My actually, my first job was a American production that came here to Tijuana, well, to Mexico, to the Baja Studios to shoot. And ever since then, all the things that I've learned are consequences of this, you know, relationship and advantage that living next to the border has. So I think that in a personal way is, you know, this whole thing, my personal journey with, you know, moving from town to town, and how I discovered a lot of movies living here in between Tijuana and San Diego. And I don't think I would ever, you know, done what I've done if it wasn't for that. So I think I'm kind of like chained to that, to this region. I mean, it's part of my whole emotional DNA, I think.
Well, earlier Maria talked about the theme Cinema Without Borders. How do you view that theme in this particular moment in politics and culture?
Well, I think that movies, the power of movies is like very important because they are like a universal language. I mean, the movie is obviously in Spanish, but I've seen in screenings that we had in other festivals around the world how people are so curious about, you know, our way of life and how we are so correlated with between Mexico and the US in this part of the country. And there is kind of like a universal understanding and empathy to the movie that regardless of where we are, people are getting the message about, you know, this family and the importance of unity. We presented the movie in India last year, and I thought I was gonna have like a very, I didn't know what to expect about the audience, and they were very like understanding and have a lot of empathy for the characters. We are having almost like the same reaction no matter where we go. And to me, that's a translation of there are no borders with cinema.
You know, Maria, there's so much happening politically right now when it comes to the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico. I mean, whether it's indiscriminate detainments and deportations or trade wars between the two nations, what statement does this film festival make against the backdrop of all that's happening?
Well, as Rodrigo said, we need unity. Like we want to, through the festival, show films that show diverse representations of the Mexican and Latin American culture, not just the representation of mainstream cinema, that it's like Latin Americans are only drug dealers or people that come to the U.S. to steal. Like Latin Americans in the U.S. are the working class. Also, are people of effort. Are people that are making films. So we want to show that through the different films that we are showing at the festival, not just having one type of cinema, but diverse representations of Latin American films.
Coming up, one of the films featured in this year's Latino Film Festival is all about the history and culture of salsa.
It's a rhythm. It's a bop, 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 bop. And then the conga player will come in and the whole band surrounds the clave rhythms, and that's how they thrive.
Hear more when KPBS Midday Edition returns. This is KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Jade Hindman. On the show today, we are talking about the San Diego Latino Film Festival, which kicks off today with films, music, and fun. I am joined by Maria Paola Loria, filmmaker Rodrigo Alvarez Flores, along with the House of Music's Chris Springer. Okay, so Chris, I got to bring you in here now. So listeners may recognize your voice. You hosted a show on Jazz 88 for more than 2 decades called Latin Grooves, which catapulted you into this space that you're in now, where you're participating in this year's film festival.
Yes, most definitely. What people, you know, they always ask this question, where did salsa come from? You know, you tell people that and they think, oh, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Colombia, wherever. But it was actually created here in America, in New York City. And I believe this film will talk a lot about that.
And this film on the history of salsa is playing later this week. It's called La Salsa Vive. Let's take a listen to a clip.
Los años 70, el boom de la salsa, una época inolvidable.
Oh, wow. So, okay, so tell us about this film and a little bit more about the origins of salsa.
Okay, so in a nutshell, really quick, it was created through the American art form of jazz. There was a guy who came from Havana, Cuba, and his name was Mario Bauza. He came to New York in the 1920s, late 20s, early 30s, and he joined the Cab Calloway Chick Webb band. And these guys come classically trained, so they love jazz. But then his idea was to bring in the American art form of jazz, the drums from Africa, and the rhythms from Cuba, Puerto Rico, and out throughout the Caribbean. So putting that together, it was called Afro-Cuban music back in the 30s and 40s. And then he asked for his brother-in-law. His name was Machito, Frank Grillo, and he comes. And there's now a movement. And he brings in Dizzy Gillespie, who was this young cat who couldn't get a gig anywhere. So he faked his illness to get Dizzy Gillespie in the band. And then they created this bebop and Afro-Cuban movement that went in the 30s and 40s. And then once the 50s hit in America, man, everybody wanted to mambo. You saw Ricky Ricardo and Lucy. And at those times, think about it, a Cuban band leader on primetime television.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. So that turned into, as these immigrants came from Cuba and all over the world, they migrated to New York. So now they're having kids.
Wow.
So now we're in the 50s and 60s, and that's when the salsa craze just exploded in the streets of New York.
Wow. I mean, okay, and from its origins, again, the film takes us on a journey from New York City, but to a city in Colombia. So how did this city of Cali come to be the international capital of salsa?
Well, they're kind of the only ones who really took this art form and have kept it alive in such a big way. Because like in New York now, there's no really much salsa happening. It's now in Los Angeles. But Cali is always been a thriving place for salsa music. Even in the 70s, when these artists would travel over there and do these concerts and thousands of people, they've just accepted the art form and just have run with it. It's an amazing place for salsa music today and back then, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this film features a number of salsa legends. Can you tell us about some of them and talk about who's in the film and what they mean to salsa music?
Well, there's a couple right off the top when I saw in the trailer, Ruben Blades. And Ruben was this 22-year-old kid in the mailroom at Fania Records where they got him. And he just exploded on the scene. But there's one interesting guy that I saw also in the trailer, and his name is Willie Rosario. Willie is 101 years old today, and he still plays in Puerto Rico in the bands. He's still playing today. He's in it. Henry Fiol. They're just talking about the movement. It was such an amazing movement in New York. But the Colombians have really just kept it alive. And it's you go to Colombia and it is just like New York was back
there,
in the 70s.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, tell me a bit about like the culture that was created around this music.
Well, this music was made for the dancers. Uh-huh. This was made for dancers. So in New York in the 40s and 50s, there was a place called the Palladium, where you would have Sammy Davis Jr., Marlon Brando sitting in with these bands, movie stars, but you'd have the African-American culture, you'd have the Jewish culture, you have the Latinos all dancing together, and this movement was amazing. Wednesday and Saturday nights was the spot, but then you would have Miles Davis and Charlie Parker's, all the jazz artists playing together. So it was a thriving, this music was made for dancers, and I believe because Colombia and the dancers have really taken it to another level, that's the people who are going to have to keep this alive is the dancers.
Yeah, I love that. As a former dancer.
Okay.
You know, do you feel like the culture around salsa has changed between then and today?
A little bit, yeah. Not so much in Colombia, but definitely in New York and America. You know, Dancing with the Stars kind of hurt us a little bit, just to be honest, because everybody's show and the dancers here in America, they don't know the history of it. And if they would just learn, I always tell them, learn the clave, which is a beat. If they can learn the clave and then the history of this music, your dancing will go to another level because you'll know the breaks and the changes in the song, when to stop, when to go faster. So I believe the dancers, it's on you guys, you know, to really keep it thriving and keep it going.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned the clave. It's an essential ingredient of salsa music. It's heartbeat, right?
Yeah, it's a clap, it's a rhythm. It's a bop, 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 bop. And then the conga player will come in and the whole band surrounds the clave rhythms and that's how they thrive.
Wow. All right. Well, Maria, so La Salsa Vive is the closing night film, but there also will be salsa at the closing night party too, right?
Yes, we will have Las Sabrosas band at the closing party. That's why we wanted to mix this together. We wanted to end the festival with joy, dancing, giving also a hope for the people in San Diego and all around the world. We need to keep unity. We want also luminous films to come forward to film festivals, and we want to celebrate that cinema exists, that we have no borders in cinema, no borders in real life, and just celebrate our art and our culture.
Yeah. Where can people go to find out more about the festival?
People can find about the festival on our website, that is sdlatinofilm.com. We will have two screening venues, AMC Mission Valley and Digital Cinema in downtown San Diego.
And so you both are participating in this year's festival. I just want to ask, what are you interested in seeing and doing at the festival?
For me, I'm definitely going to see Las Sabrosas on Saturday night. By the way, that is an all-female orchestra of 13 to 14 young ladies, a full-on orchestra. That's going to be great. But if you go to the festival, you're going to find something for everybody, whether it's a movie, whether it's the events at night, because they put on great events at night. So, I mean, you can go watch a film and then go out and join one of these parties, and it's just you're going to see so many people, from politicians to everyone, just hanging out, having a good time, enjoying Latin culture.
Yeah. Rodrigo, how about you?
Well, there are several movies from several friends that are filmmakers that I want to see. And I haven't got the opportunity to catch them in other festivals. So I think it's going to be great that they finally come together in one festival. So I'll be watching movies the whole weekend.
Wow. And, on top of all that we've been talking about here, there's also food too, right, Maria?
Yes, on the closing party, we will have this event that is called A Taste of Sabor, with different chefs from Baja California that will come to San Diego to show the best, bring their best food from Baja California, from Tijuana, and also we will have local chefs. So it will be a unique opportunity to dance, eat, watch films, and dance with Las Sabrosas.
Yeah, lots to celebrate, lots to enjoy and get into. Well, I want to thank all of you for being here. I've been speaking with Maria Paola Loria. She is the artistic director of the San Diego Latino Film Festival. Maria, thank you so much.
Thanks to you.
Also, filmmaker Rodrigo Alvarez Flores, director of the film Broken Borders, playing at the festival. Rodrigo, thank you.
Thank you.
And the House of Music's Chris Springer. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jade.
All right, again, the 32nd Annual San Diego Latino Film Festival gets underway today and runs through Sunday at the AMC Mission Valley Theaters and the Digital Gem Cinema downtown. For more information on events and film times, you can visit sdlatinofilm.com. That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.